Hi, from the Salvation Army, you're listening to Words of Life.
Welcome back to Words of Life. We are in our third week in our series with Natalie Runyon. We hope you enjoy.
That is a reflection of so many young leaders who are so ready and so eager to get on the field, to get out there and to use their gifts. And they're screaming at the pastors, put me in, coach, put me in, but they're not ready.
Welcome back to Words of Life. We are so glad that you've joined us. And in an incredible fate of ours, we've got Natalie Runyon back with us, who we met last year. Natalie, welcome.
Hey, it's good to be back. Week three.
Amen. We talked early on. If you don't know Natalie, or if you're just joining us, she has a ministry called Raised to Stay. And you can find out a lot more about that on Instagram or Facebook. Last year, she released a book with the same name. I think she sold millions of copies. And if you haven't, I hope that we would support her somehow as a sister in Christ and someone who's trying to bring people closer to Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. What we've been focusing on the last few weeks is a discipleship series that she makes available from time to time. And week one, Natalie, correct me if I'm wrong, but we talked about community and why that's important. Then week two, we got into women and leadership, which is especially close to the Salvation Army because we really do think that women can be very powerful leaders and have been in our history. So that's a very cool thing. But in the same way, we were trying to just make sure, and I want to touch on it before we move on, as a man, how can we really empower other men to support women in leadership?
Well, I've been very blessed to have a dad who championed me as a little girl, who told me I could be anything I wanted to be, which made going to college and picking a major really difficult because I really believed him.
Yeah.
And then marrying someone who has just championed me. I say all the time that I'm still in ministry only because of Jesus and my husband. Mm. And so it's every day waking up to somebody, more than one person, one man believing in me. It's having the two most important people other than Jesus believing in me. And a lot of that is just the encouragement to be who God has called me to be as a speaker, as an author, as a worship leader. And I believe that when the men in our life believe in us, we're unstoppable, that we can do anything because we have that wind beneath us that is just kind of carrying us even in hard seasons. So for men, whether it's our friends, it's our neighbors, it's our spouse, our dad, when you tell us you believe in us, you have no idea what that does. And when you act on that and you release us to do what God has called us to do, that's even more valuable is when we feel like we're not just being told we can do it, but we're being encouraged to do it.
Amen. I mean this in a fun way, but let's be honest, women are much smarter than men. They have much more self-control. And honestly, as we honor women in ministry, I believe that we will see a greater impact on the kingdom. So I applaud you for that. So week three, we get into this discipleship series and we're talking about communication with God and his people. Walk us through that. What are we thinking about when we talk about communication with God and his people?
What I'm seeing in the Raised to Stay community is that a lot of the hurt that has come from miscommunication. Mm-hmm. So it has been misunderstandings from people not being able to say what they're really feeling in fear of hurting someone, or they're unable to say it. And so when we communicate, communication is clarity, it's kindness. And when we know how to communicate with each other, then there's no room for interpretation or for offense. And I believe that as Jesus was one of the best communicators when it came to the gospel, but also the way that he spoke to people. He didn't just ignore people. He got his point across. That as we can do that with each other, that we will begin to really debunk some of the lies that can ease in to these conversations that we make up in our heads.
Yeah.
And so what I want for us to do is to study how Jesus communicated, know the word of God, that we have power, life, and death in our tongues.
Wow.
And that if we will learn how to use our words with each other and communicate, we have the opportunity to give life, not to take it.
Amen.
And so it takes self-control. It takes knowing the word of God and also preferring one another over our own selves to be a good communicator.
Yeah. You've been living in Acts over the course of some study in the last couple months. And I'm very mindful of the idea, just beyond that, or to the right, as some people might say, in Corinthians when it talks about Paul kind of talking about he had been given the gift of a handicap and what it did was draw him to his knees where he became even more powerful. There's a great song, you know, I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my knees. So we want to certainly pray and ask God for wisdom and guidance. That communication needs to take place as well, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. We can do nothing apart from the Lord.
Amen.
And that first church, the Acts church, was unified by two things. It was unified by the promise of the coming Holy Spirit and by the Great Commission, this mission of going and making disciples. And so when we think about what Jesus left us, he left us his Holy Spirit, which means that we now have communication to the Father through Jesus, who is our advocate on our behalf. So why wouldn't we talk to him every day? Why wouldn't we want to have that advocacy that we have in the Holy Spirit to be able to say what we need to say to our Father? And in that, he speaks to us. He gives us all of those fruits of the Spirit to be able to communicate with kindness and gentleness and peace and self-control and perseverance that allows us to be Jesus as much as we can here on earth. And I believe there's no greater way to be Jesus than to be good communicators.
Yeah. And joy. Let's not forget joy. Oh, you can draw so many people with a smile. It breaks down so many barriers. Now, there's another aspect of this week's discipleship series that I'm not too familiar with. You're talking about the idea of fasting.
Yeah. You know, fasting is something that I'm not great at. And I'll just be honest with it.
Same.
There are these biblical principles that I know are throughout all of scripture that are powerful. And especially in my position, being in ministry full time, I understand that fasting should be a vital part of what I do. But the enemy, he hates it when we do these principles because he knows that every time we subject our bodies under the authority of Christ, that we're going to become a threat to him.
Amen.
And so if he can not make us quit, he'll make us lazy or he'll make us undisciplined. And fasting is one of those things that is a discipline that says, I'm going to push away the things that are the addictions, the things that are separating me from the Lord, the things that are keeping me distracted. And I'm going to sit at the table of the Lord and I'm going to seek his presence above that food or that social media or whatever it is that we're giving him for X amount of time.
Yeah.
And so really fasting throughout scripture we see is a important part, and Jesus talks about it. So if Jesus talks about it, it must be important.
Yeah, of course. We should be paying attention. I don't speak for the entire Salvation Army, but I can say, you know, Salvation Army officers, Salvation Army soldiers, members are asked to refrain from drinking and smoking or any harmful drug use. But man, can we eat? That is a thing in the church.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, I think too, when we talk about community, food is a huge part of community. So when these churches do these 21-day fasts starting in January, and you're used to going out to eat every Sunday after church, and you know, it can be almost like the enemy wants to make you feel guilty. Like, well, if I break that fast now, I'm just, you know, done for and everything. And you know, the beautiful part about God is that he gives us second chances. His mercies are new every day. So
every
if you
day.
Start a fast
Amen.
And you mess up one day, you can just pick right back up the next day. And I love how the family of God can fast for each other, especially as people are coming into our communities who don't know about these practices and they're just learning about them for the first time, that we can, you know, kind of stand in the gap for each other and say, hey, you may not get it this year, but next year you'll want to participate, or maybe you'll do your own as you come to know the Lord in the later months. But I would encourage all of us to not just take the easy route and say, well, I'm just going to fast social media. Like, I believe everybody should try a food fast at some point in our walks with the Lord to really understand what it is that he's called us to.
Okay. So we've been sitting in the Word, we've been praying, fasting, and now there's another one that comes with community, and that's going to be hard conversations.
Yeah. Hard conversations are part of that clarity is kindness. And while it doesn't always mean that people have these hard conversations well, what I have learned about having the hard and holy conversations is that I never regret having them.
Mm-hmm.
I may dread them going into them. I may overthink it, and I may really hope it's going to be over soon. But once I sit down with someone and I either ask for forgiveness or I tell them how they've hurt me, once we have that dialogue, there has always been reconciliation or at least understanding on the other side. because I believe that that's where the Holy Spirit meets us. Where there's unity, it commands the Lord's blessing. And so if we're willing to not just shy away from the hard conversations, I believe that we will get to that unity a lot faster rather than making assumptions or just hoping people knew what we meant.
Yeah. If I could emphasize that point in general, when you honor someone by having that conversation, and you talk about relationship equity, being able to actually speak into someone's life, when you honor someone with the hard conversation, you're both going to be better for it. And I believe that makes us even more like Christ. And how could you go wrong?
Absolutely. And I have seen pastors who have done this well, who have this relationship with their staff where they are immediately ready to repent or to reconcile or to even call a person in and confront things. And when they nip that in the bud, when they're willing to just hit it head on, there is so much power in that confidence as a leader and as a pastor and as a shepherd to say, I care more about you than I care about if you like me or not, or if you are going to go blast my name and, you know, make me feel guilty for doing this, but I care about you more than I care about my reputation.
Yeah.
And that speaks high, even if it hurts at first to be corrected. That means that I'm loved, that somebody loved me enough to not let me act like a fool, you know?
Yeah, of course. Now, along these lines, I want to tie in the black boxes, the raised to stay that we knew of Natalie last year or that we came to know Natalie with. And one of the things that you said, and it's important that our listeners hear your words, not mine, I've been corrected more than I've been praised. When God sets you down, don't give up. Don't get up. It isn't a punishment. He's not yelling. He's teaching you something. And for me, I received that as when people feel that they have that relationship equity and the desire to speak into my life, that is God using them as his hands and feet to speak to me.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Super Bowl was last weekend and we saw a very excited player grabbing his coach, begging to be let back into the game. And we all had our reactions as to whether or not it was an appropriate thing for him to scream at his coach to be put in the game.
Right.
But that is a reflection of so many young leaders who are so ready and so eager to get on the field, to get out there and to use their gifts. And they're screaming at the pastors, put me in, coach, put me in. But they're not ready. Or there's something happening on the field that the coach or the pastor knows, like it's not time yet. And so we're benched or we're sat down and it feels like we've been rejected. But in reality, it's because we aren't ready yet. And that somebody loves us enough to say, hey, I see where you're headed. I see where this play is going to go. And you're just not ready to be put in yet. That means I have a pastor, a shepherd, a leader who loves me enough to say not yet. And if I can see it as protection and not rejection and not let my emotions get the best of me, then I can see that I've been sat down to grow up.
Amen.
And sometimes that hurts. And even at 44, I've been sat down to grow up. It's not my turn. It's not my turn. And that can be painful when I'm walking in the flesh. But when I'm walking in the spirit, I can see it as a gentle correction.
Yeah. This is good spiritual food. And in a sense, you know, like if this were the time that you were fasting, when you're hearing words like this, you're hearing messages like this, it is like manna from heaven. It's like the bread of life in a sense. Natalie, thank you so much for coming back and joining us. We've got more to come. If you've just joined us, this was just week three of several that are coming. We've got announcements and special things going on. But most importantly, we hope that you hear this and you're drawing closer to Jesus, not because of us, but because of Christ in us. God bless you. The Salvation Army's mission, doing the most good, means helping people with material and spiritual needs. You become a part of this mission every time you give to the Salvation Army. Visit SalvationArmyUSA.org to offer your support. You can subscribe to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit SalvationArmySoundcast.org. Join us next time for the Salvation Army's Words of Life.